to the book of Micah. I'll be reading Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. This is the word of God.
Good morning. A blessed Advent to all of you. As Pastor Jordan explained earlier what Advent means, it is a season on our Christian calendar, and it is a time when Christians observe as we look forward to Christmas, basically the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. But from now, today, in fact, is the first day of Advent. And over Advent, we will observe 4 Sundays before Christmas itself. And this is timely because here at AMKPC, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church, we are beginning our Christmas series today. So we'll be looking at prophetic sayings in the Old Testament of the Bible. What does the Old Testament of the Bible say regarding about the coming of Jesus? Now Jesus, the stories about him is written only in the New Testament, the later half of the Bible. But in the Old Testament, there were many prophetic prophecies telling about Jesus coming. And this is what that we'll be looking at in the following few weeks as we begin this series on Christmas. So today we'll begin by looking at the book of Micah, or Micah. Some people pronounce as Micah, some people pronounce as Micah. It really depends on which where you come from, and it really depends on the preference, of course, if the person's name is called Micah, if he wants to call himself Micah or Micah. But there's different pronunciations depending on where you come from, all right? So, but if I say Micah or Micah, I'm referring to the same book, okay? Not 2 different books. Come, let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are our peace. We thank you, God, that you have given us hope through you. Surprises in our lives. And we pray, Lord, even as we look through this book of Micah, we will see and how you have planned for the most wonderful of surprise for us, even from way back. We pray that you bless this time we have, that we learn from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the time of Micah the prophet was a hopeless situation. The world surrounding him was under sin and oppression. Now Micah, this prophet, he was a contemporary of another prophet called Isaiah, and Isaiah also has his own book in the Old Testament. So if you know the book of Isaiah and Micah, they were actually contemporaries, all right? They live at the same time, and they're like buddies, no friends, no buddy, colleagues, prophets, who are telling the people of God, preaching warnings to the people of God, telling them about upcoming prophecies and telling them to watch out for how you are living your lives. And during Micah's time, he went through 3 Judean kings. Okay, in fact, in his whole life, he went through 4 kings. Since his birth till he died, there were 4 kings. But when he really started his ministry as a prophet, he went through 3 kings. And out of the 3 kings, when he was a prophet, one of them, the first one, Ahaz, he was very wicked king. And this wicked king, he did very wicked things to the people. What kind of wicked things, I'll tell you more. But the thing about this Ahaz is that he's not a king for God. No, he totally forgot about God, right? And he he was leading his people astray. But later came a better king. His name is Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was a good king. And that was very good because he heeded. He listened to what Micah tell him. And he obeyed. And he trusted in God. But unfortunately, the third king that came along, Manasseh, which is the son of Hezekiah, unfortunately, he went evil again. And he did bad things to the people. So you see, in his ministry to three kings, two out of three kings were kings that did not listen to Micah. And Micah was there prophesizing, telling them, you better listen to the word of God. You better do this. Otherwise, the kingdom will fall. And indeed, the kingdom fell eventually. During his time of his ministry, the northern kingdom of Israel was fallen to enemies. His prophecies came true. And he made the prophecy in Micah chapter 1. But here we are in Micah chapter 5. The northern kingdom has fallen. And now remains the southern kingdom of Israel called Judah. So, you see that many a times the Micah, when he say those prophecies, they come true. And here in Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, he made another prophecy that will come true. What is this prophecy? We'll come to that. Usually during Micah's society and during his time, it was a very bad situation because of those bad kings, right? Two-thirds of the kings are bad. And they face threats from external sources and internal sources as well. Now, from the external sources, they face physical threats. You know, there was this group of people called the Assyrians. And the Assyrians are very fierce people. They were oppressing not just Israel, but the countries around. But they were trying to dominate the entire land. And as they do so, Israel was forced to give tribute. And later on, they came in and they conquered Israel. So you see, through the years, it was under a lot of oppression. And during that, one of the bad king's time, Ahaz, King Ahaz's time, he faced threats not just from Assyria, but from another country called Syria, from another group of people called Edomites, and another group of people called the Philistines. So there they were, like, he was completely surrounded. Imagine as a country, north, south, east, west, like, all the enemies around you are oppressing you. And so it was a very, very difficult time indeed. And so in Micah chapter 5, verse 1, Micah the prophet spoke to the king. He said, now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Now when he says daughter of troops, it doesn't mean that soldiers' daughters go, you know, take weapons and go and fight. It doesn't mean that. But O daughter is a way of calling out to the city. You know, sometimes they give the name of cities as a feminine name. So a daughter of troops, basically he's saying, O Judah, O Israel. So O daughter of troops, muster your troops, means bring together your soldiers. And he say, here in verse 1, he say, siege is laid against us. Siege, that means enemies are attacking us. It's laid and is ready to attack us at any moment. And with a rod, this day means the enemies, they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. In other words, he's saying that they are going to be attacked. And he's asking Israel, be prepared to fight back. It is time, but now we are still under oppression. And that was the physical, external oppression that they were facing. But Israel at this moment in time was also facing internal struggles. Remember I mentioned about the evil king? So there they were, the evil kings was not very good to the people as well. In fact, there were a lot of chaos happening in Israel. The powerful people, they seized land from the weak people. That is written in Micah chapter 2. And then there were a lot of war victims because I told you the northern kingdom has already fallen. And so there were war victims. And then what do the people do? They actually went to rob the poor war victims. The victims of the war. And they were already so desolate and so poor and so upset and depressed, and yet they were being robbed. Widows who lost their husbands as soldiers in the war, they were taken advantage of. And at the same time, politicians, in charge of the country, they turned blind eyes to justice. Judges were taking bribes. All these are in the earlier part of Micah, in Micah chapter 3 as well. There are government building projects that needed to be completed fast in order to build the country. And there were loss of lives. A lot of people were sent quickly under very torturous situation and the hazardous situation. And they lost a lot of lives when they are building government building projects that don't care about the people. Businessmen were cheating their clients. In fact, it's written in Micah chapter 7 later on, say people had to be very careful what they say to one another, because you do not know what you say will be turned around and used against you, and you'll be arrested and then thrown into jail for nothing. At the same time, people were turning away from worshiping God. They were going into pagan worship, especially during the times of King Ahaz and King Manasseh. People were they were worshiping other religions and other gods that were created in regions around them. And the prophets, now, not just I was saying there's Micah and I was saying there's Isaiah, but beside the two of them, there were other prophets around. And these other so-called prophets, they actually prophesize, but they say, you are to give me payment for my prophecies. So these are false prophets. And they were just giving prophecies as and when they like, and they demand money at the same time. And not just these false prophets, but priests as well. The priests were supposed to help the people worship God and to help them to be forgiven of sins. They too demanded for payment for instructions given to the people. All these are supposed to be given free, but yet they demanded payment. So you see, there was corruption even in their religious beliefs. And the religious leaders, they were unwilling to identify sins of the people, unwilling to correct their sins. And so you could see the whole world, the whole society was in chaos. People were indeed, as we hear from the kids' talk, people were bullied. They were bullied. That was the time of Micah. We would think that today's society is good. We are not under such bad kings, right? So we should be quite safe in today's society. True, we may not be physically oppressed by enemies or bullies, but oppression is still very real in other forms in our lives. Just open up the newspaper and you see that there are many bad things, physical, internal, that may be external or internal, that may be happening in lives around us, and things that are not going too smoothly. On the front page news, we read things like Mount Agung, volcano eruption in Bali, and because of that, flights were cancelled. I know of a brother who has to cancel his holiday in Bali even because of this volcanic eruption. And thousands of people were stranded in Bali because flights were cancelled and there's no way for them to go back home. But not only just these tourists, what about the citizens in Bali themselves? If the volcano is to truly erupt, what would their lives be? Would they be in grave danger? Bad news happening, even natural disasters. Then we look on in the news and we see things that happen, bad things that happen, due to negligence and due to weakness of human beings to human beings, bad things that happen. We see how executives of the MRT has been sacked because they falsify records, and because of that caused the recent Bishan flooding of the tunnels. Bad news that happened. How could this happen? We saw a story of a couple who tortured their intellectually disabled tenant to death, and they were sentenced to a long time in jail, 15 years, 16 years. We read about a hit-and-run driver, and he knocked down a policeman when the policeman wanted to check on him. And the thing why he knocked down the policeman was because he was driving without insurance and under suspension. He was a repeated offender, but yet he continued to drive illegally. Bad things, even as we read the newspaper. And we see their lives are oppressed. In fact, if you are to open the newspapers and you are to count the number of bad news and the number of good news, there seems to be more bad news than good news. More oppression, more wickedness that's happening in the world. Of course, there's good things happening in the newspaper as well. Like we read that the new national service have a new webbing that's light and good. Yeah, that's a good news. But it's among many other bad news that's happening. Of course, we read about GST going to increase, right? Or possibly going to increase. That could be bad news as well. But internally in our lives, we face a lot of bad news as well. Maybe we are getting older, and as we go on to become elderly in society, our health begins to fail. And we begin to experience more and more issues with our health, with our physical needs. We get weaker each day. We can't run as fast as we used to be able to do through aging. Yesterday, I was reading through an article on the internet talking about how in Japan, Tokyo, there were elderly who died lonely and alone in these old apartment complexes. These old apartment complexes were built in the 1960s to house people, and people were, they have to really be very successful people who are working in the society in order to apply for these apartments. And so to get into there, to stay in these apartments is like a privilege. But yet now, 40 years later, all their children have moved out and all those that remain behind in these apartment complexes are old people. And they interviewed the old people, and they were saying that they were afraid because no one comes to visit them anymore. No, and every year they say that there will be old people who die in their own apartments, and nobody will know. In fact, there was once that they discovered after 3 years that an old man had died in the kitchen, and in fact his body has become a skeleton. You know, so they were all dying alone, and they were afraid that these things would happen to them. And one of the person who was being interviewed says that she actually tell her neighbor to check on her window. She said, every night I'll close my curtain, every morning I'll open. If you see one morning I didn't open my curtain, that means I died. Then you better send help for me. Yeah, so they were all very depressed. And as I read the article, my heart just sank. Because it's so sad that it's a whole very big apartment complex, so big that they say it must be served by 2 train stations. So you can imagine it's like Yio Chu Kang and Ang Mo Kio, no? Wow, maybe that big. And it can host like 4,000 units, that big. So all of them are old people living there with no one to care for them. And they were all waiting as if like to die. So there was so much depression as they live in that place. As working adults, perhaps we also have our fears and oppression. Earlier this week, I was talking to my neighbor, and my neighbor was a man in his 50s. And we were just chit-chatting, and I was telling him, say, oh, I'm going overseas to study for a year. And he said, well, good, go and study, good to upgrade. He said, my boss also tell me to upgrade. Then I upgrade, but I don't understand. You know, they tell me to learn English, and his English not good. So he said, I have to learn English in order to keep up, and then so that I can upgrade myself, and to do this multitask, and he was telling me. And he says that if I don't do that, I'll lose my job to the younger employees. I'll lose my job to the company who just employ foreign workers who can come in and take over my job and all. And he said he was very afraid. And he said that many of his colleagues have in fact lost their jobs because they were unable to keep up with times, unable to use computer, unable to speak English. And he seemed quite hopeless, and he seemed quite fearful. And I could only encourage him, we just have to press on and just do what we can in the jobs that we are given. So even as working adults, there's a fear of retrenchment. There's a fear of losing their job security. For us, perhaps as students as well, we also may face oppression in our lives. Maybe some of us see that, every day study, for what? No, I see no purpose. Why must I study all this formula? That what differentiation, integration, sine, cosine, tangent, what does it mean for me in real life? You know, sometimes we may not understand and we don't see the meaning in life. And because of the pressure in trying to achieve good results, and then we seem like everything is hopeless, everything is fearful. And we begin to see that there's comparison, that people are always comparing me with someone else, with the smart cousin or the smart boy in class. And then we start to see a lot of competition happening as well. Indeed, if you have to think in this direction and continue to think about it, it seems like the world that we are living in today also, like during Micah's time, seems to be hopeless. And people just simply need the hope to bring them out of the oppression of life. We just need that hope to bring us out of the oppression of life. That's the bad news. But the good news is God did give us hope. We have a God who provided hope for us through a very unlikely surprise. And an unlikely surprise is when a surprise when we don't expect it. Okay, it happens when you don't expect it. Just 2 days ago, I celebrated my 10th wedding anniversary, all right? And I bought a present for my wife. And so actually I bought the present for my wife much earlier, okay? But because we are moving out from the house soon, the house is quite empty. I don't know where to put this present. Everywhere I put, like, it stick out in a sore time, like a sore time, and she would definitely find it. So in the end, I had to find an old bag, okay, and squeeze the present into the bag and hang it inside the storeroom, which probably she would think that it's just nothing, an old bag. And so I cannot put it in somewhere fancy so that she wouldn't go and check. But I want it to be a good surprise. I want it to be an appreciated surprise. So I hide it somewhere that she can't see. And on the actual day itself, I can bring out to her and say, surprise. And then she'll, wow, you have this here all along? How come I didn't know, no? So yeah, that would be a delightful surprise. But when I brought it out, my wife was saying, huh, you hide it in this bag, ah? I almost want to give this back to my mother. Why? So it's fortunate that she did not. But there is this need for an unexpected surprise, right? An unexpected surprise would be good. If a surprise is expected, it's expected saying that I want to give this to you, you receive it on Friday, okay? It's here right now, okay? And then from Friday you come, you already see it for a few days already, ma. So it's no longer a surprise, right? So it's when we have received an unexpected surprise, that's when that we learn to appreciate the surprise even more. And God was the one who gives unexpected surprises as well. He provided hope where we least expected it. But we bear in mind that God is a God who doesn't leave his people alone. Here in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet continues to tell Israel or Judah, the people in Judah, saying, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah. Now, Ephrathah is the older name of Bethlehem. So Bethlehem Ephrathah means the same place, okay? You, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. Too little. Bethlehem is just a very small town. Very, very small town. And people would think, nothing good will come from this small town. If anyone who will come to save us, you come from the capital, you know, come from big towns and big cities, someone who's well known. But God does the impossible. Because if it's someone who's a general in the army who comes to save, someone who's well known and someone who's from a big city and all, then what kind of a surprise is that? It's expected. It is like, it is his responsibility to save us anyway. It is his duty anyway. But no. The prophecy says, he will come from Bethlehem, a town that is too little to be among the clans of Judah. And he continues to say, from you, Bethlehem, shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Now, wow, someone who's from ancient days coming to rule us. Is this man an immortal? That he was alive since ancient days? Something is amiss here. There is a weird thing that the prophet is saying. Someone will come and rule us, but this person from this small town has been there since ancient days, from of old. When you see something or hear something like that, that means it has to be something unique. this man, Micah, was really prophesying. He was trying to say that this ruler is from the beginning of time, the ancient days. This ruler will be God himself. But verse 3, the prophecy continues. Therefore, he, this Savior, or this Messiah, in Hebrew language is called Messiah, the Messiah shall give them up, or rather God shall give them up, until the time when she, a lady, who is in labor, pregnant, has given birth. So, that means God will give us up to the enemies and oppression until the time when the pregnant lady gave birth. What does that mean? Let's go to Bethlehem, look for someone who's pregnant, and the person who's pregnant give birth to a child, but this child must be from ancient days. Doesn't add up. This was a prophecy. God will be born of a woman, and he shall come, and he shall be the ruler, and he shall come from Bethlehem. Then the rest of his brothers, in verse 3 says, shall return to the people of Israel. There will be salvation. People will be saved. We know the story, of course, now in our perspective, that Mary had given birth to baby Jesus. And that was what this prophecy was really talking about. Now, this prophecy, Micah's time was a time in about 720 BC, all right? So it's like 700 years before Christ. And he spoke this prophecy. About 700 years later, the prophecy came true. Mary gave birth to baby Jesus. It was an unlikely situation. I mean, think about it. If you are oppressed and going through difficult moments, where would you hope your hero to come from? I mean, there's so many superhero movies out there, like Marvel, Thor, Justice League, Wonder Woman, all these are coming out. And have been coming out. And there's superhero movies, they are big. No, we see our heroes as big, strong, with authority, powerful. But if God provides hope, as I said earlier, in likely places, people will not appreciate. You see that it's just the generous warrior's duty and responsibility as the strong to help us, the weak. But it is when it is an unlikely hero, that's when that you see the power of God. That this is God at work, making the impossible happen. God provides hope in unlikely places. And this is a pattern that God continues to do throughout the history in the Bible. If you remember the story of Moses, Moses was a fearful man. He was unable to speak well. And he said, "What should I speak? You want to send me to speak to the Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt? I don't know how to speak. How can I, do this? What can I say?" But God said, "You go." He's sending an unlikely surprise, hope through an unlikely situation. He sent Moses. David was a well-known king in Israel's history. But David began as a shepherd boy, the youngest among the sons. And he was unknown. And in fact, when they lined up the brothers to see who would become king, he was forgotten by his father. He was still tending to the sheep out there. And then the prophets come and say, "No, this is not the one that God has chosen to be king. Where is one more?" "Oh, he's out there tending to sheep. Bring him here." And that was David, the shepherd boy. And he became a king, a warrior, a man after God's heart. God chose someone unexpected. Jonah, the prophet, he was disobedient. He went against God. God said, "Go this way." He ran that way instead. But God chose him, used him, and through a simple message, he turned the entire town or city of Nineveh around and down on their knees before God. The disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were fishermen. They were cowards. They ran away at the first sight of trouble. But God used them, and they built the church. The Apostle Paul, he was against Christians. He was a persecutor of Christians, and he stoned Stephen to death. He was a bad guy, wicked. But God changed him, transformed him, revealed himself to him, that Paul had no choice to say, wow, Jesus, you are Lord, and I will serve you. Even the Lord Jesus himself, he began as a carpenter. And he became the Savior and Messiah of the world. God always provides hope in unlikely places to give the twist of surprise so that we will appreciate more, so that we will see that, wow, this cannot be the work of man. This is God. And God will provide this hope in our unlikely situations in lives, even today here in church. I know of many of our churchmates who comes to know God through what the church has done, not just for them, but for their families. I know of a brother who passed away, very young. He's still only a youth, young adult. And yet, when he was at the funeral, so many people show up from churches that his relatives say, who is this young man? There's so many people turn out. Impossible. He's so young to know so many people. But this is the church coming together to support. This is the church that has been there to care. And as they walk and journey together in their spiritual lives, there is that unexpected surprise to the realities that, wow, this is not the work of man. It is God. I know of brothers who come to fall in love with God because they see how God loves the rest of their families, their wives and all, even through some of the dying family members, and how God's love extended to them through the church. And it was unexpected for them because for years they did not receive Jesus, they don't believe, but yet through such unexpected situations, they see hope that God has provided and they turn around. And they believe in the Lord Jesus. Jesus came as a peaceful, humble baby. What a surprise. And that is the gospel for us. That God came as a man to die on the cross for our sins. What a surprise. What a hope that God has given to us to show that he is Lord. And that happened about 2,000 years ago in the first Christmas when Micah's prophecy was answered in the Gospels. We may think that, oh yeah, I'm 2,000 years too late. I missed that birth of Jesus. But don't worry. God say, look out. He will come again. And as Christians, we continue to hope and pine for Jesus' second coming, because Jesus will come again. He will come and he will care for God's people. Micah chapter 5 verse 4 says, he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. A baby born in a manger, a carpenter, becomes a great prophet, the Savior, the Son of God himself. Jesus became great, well-known, popular. People followed him, sought after him. Even the wicked people were jealous of him and fearful of him. Even demons recognized him and feared him. And Micah chapter 5, verse 5, first line say, and he shall be their peace. He shall be their peace. That is Advent, the coming of Christ again. We continue to look forward and know that we have the peace of our Lord Jesus through an unexpected surprise. Jesus will come again and bring us hope in a world of oppression. a hope as we look forward to Jesus' second coming. We do not know when it will be, because Jesus, as written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, says he will come like a thief in the night. When you don't expect, he will be there. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, the Lord Jesus says, therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And it will be an unexpected surprise. When we receive this hope, that we see that it's answered, that God comes back, the second coming of Jesus, and we will receive peace, and we'll be free from the oppression of the world. That is the hope of all Christians as we celebrate Christmas each year. We talk about peace, we talk about hope, we talk about joy. But it's not just about Jesus as an unexpected hope. We as his disciples can also emulate as unexpected hope for others out there who has yet to know Jesus. You know, every year we spend a lot of money in buying surprise Christmas gifts, but it's not really surprise. People know we're going to have gift exchange anyway. No, we're going to receive presents and all. No, it's not much of a surprise actually, but in fact, our buying of too much surprise gifts actually benefit the shops and the businesses. But how about giving real surprise to the people who need it, to the people who don't expect it? How about the poor and the needy? Then you'll be a real surprise of love and care from unlikely places, and that will be appreciated a long way. And they will marvel and see that truly this is the work of God. Yesterday I was at Ang Mo Kio MRT station, and I was hungry, I bought a polo butter bun, and I was happily walking to the bus stop. And then I saw an old man sitting on a wheelchair selling tissue paper. And he was there, and before I came, he was telling people to buy the tissue paper. But when I came near, he didn't tell me to buy new tissue paper. And all he did was stare. I was wondering why was he staring at me as I walked. Then I realized he was staring at my butter polo bun. And I was as I walked, he was looking at it. He wasn't looking at my face, he was looking here. I was wondering why. Then he kind of seemed unsure. So as I just keep on walking because I was going to catch a bus. Then I thought, maybe he was just hungry or maybe he looked at the butter polo pan and he wanted to eat it. Maybe I could offer it to him, especially when in my hand I hold another bun. No, I could have given to him. I missed the opportunity, to tell you frankly. I thought about it only after I left and thought that that is a person who is in need, and he probably wants a bun, just so as to feel his hunger. I have two buns. Can I give him one? That would have been an unexpected surprise that will warm his heart and bless his day. Maybe we can do that. If opportunity comes again, I will try my best to give to that poor man one butter polo bun. Indeed, God gives hope where we don't expect. So let us be the hope from unlikely places, just as God has been for us. Let us pray. Dear God, we give thanks to you that you are the hope from unlikely places. When we don't expect it, God, you sent your Savior. When Israel was going through oppression, God, you sent to them peace. You send to them eventual victory for the king who fears you, the king who honors you. You grant him peace during his life. And then you also grant to your people the Lord Jesus who came as a baby. And that is what we look forward to as we celebrate Christmas. We await for the second coming as your children today. But Lord, as we continue to await and observe Advent, may we be warm in our hearts to hold on to the hope and know and trust that you will bring us hope from unlikely places. So all we have to do is just to remain faithful and wait upon the Lord. And as we live each day, may we in turn be the hope for others, because you are our hope. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, stand with me as we sing this song as a response to the message, a reminder that truly there's a hope in God, our God.
There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. A glimpse of glory now revealed in meager part, yet drives all doubt away. I stand
find hope. We thank you for that assurance, even as the prophecy has been given. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, church. Welcome to the service. I have a friend that we want to welcome, so when I call you, can you just raise your hand so that we can give you a warm welcome? Doris Lowe. Doris, you here with us? Hi, welcome, Doris. Hi, welcome. Do join us for refreshment at the canteen later on. All right, couple of announcements now. Parents, please note that your child at Sunday school today would have done a card something like this, okay, to invite their friends for the Christmas at the Sunday school this whole month.